Chapter 11. Darrow. Inheritance. The Archimedes whispers through space on a route between the ecliptic plane that will add weeks to our journey, but hopefully help us avoid enemy hunting squadrons. In the commissary, Severo and I eat dinner in silence. His hair is long and dishevelled, and, like me, he has a beard. He breaks the silence with a burp and wags a chunk of ham on the end of a combat knife. "I'll say one thing about Kavox. He packs a good larder. Surprised your lot didn't pillage it." "We did. Cassius nicked this grub from Starhold. Neglected to share with the others before we parted ways." Severo shrugs, deciding not to let the origins of the food diminish his enjoyment of it. "You try the ham yet?" he asks.
"Not yet."
4 days out from the dockyards, and Severo and I have apparently forgotten how to talk to each other. At the same time, we can't seem to be ever more than one room away from each other, or avoid touching each other when we are in the same room. It's weird like that. The push and pull of a war bond that goes as deep as ours. So much guilt. But at the same time, he's my security and refuge, and I am his. We know we're the only ones who understand what the other one has seen. Indescribable things. Things words explain to those back home about as well as cave paintings relay the reality of a woolly mammoth. "You always try the ham, Darrow. Wherever you go, it's a good barometer for the rest of the larder. Trust me." He throws a piece on my plate. "I'm prime." "PTSD because the Minotaur carved you like a pig?" he asks. "Was that all a setup?" I ask. "Don't be so conceited." I grimace at him from across the table. He's lost weight in his stays in the clone's prison and then Apollonius's. Skinny, bearded, tattooed, savaged as a serrated knife, drowning in Cassius's too large shirt and too large pants, he looks more like a loony street killer than a soldier. Except in the eyes. They're locked in a 1,000-meter stare. Then there's the matter of his necklace of ears, which he hasn't taken off. They stink. "Still a little nauseous from the meds, actually," I admit. "Pain meds are for pixies." After the duel on the meat straw, I can't move without suffering a litany of pains. I've been in the Archimedes med bay with Ori more than I've been in my own bunk. "Be honest, it's the ears," he says. "I'd get rid of them, but how else could I mock the dead?" He brings an ear to his mouth. "Galerius, you still squealing like a piggy down there?" "Galerius Alvoth?" I ask. "He came to the Minotaur?" "That's the piggy," he says, and goes back to eating. "Well, he certainly had it coming. He was my sixth, after I got free. I was in the vents by then. Strong enough to finally gather supplies and make a real guerrilla action out of it. Found him in the showers. His life wasn't the first thing he lost." "I'm glad you showed restraint," I say. He looks up, eager to take offense, but not sure if there's an angle to. "Ears. You could have chosen pricks. Thought about it. Gender biased and too heavy. Girls, you know." He's not joking. "Once I got into an armory and got my hands on anti-personnel mines, it started getting real fun. Best one was pulling a fire alarm in the mess and seeing all those greys run out. Got 51 that day." It's not like Severo to brag. Maybe, like me, he doesn't know how to fill the silence. "So Galeria was there. You already told me about Tiberius and Drusilla. What about on Luna?" He goes quiet and returns to his food. "Told you. Old crowd. Vox were puppets. Syndicate Queen was Lilith. Clown thing. Clown, Pebble, who knows where. Iron Wolf. You want me to tell you Min Min smelled like bacon when she burned?" "She did. So did the rest of them." He meant it to hurt me, but saying it hurt him too. He looks away. I told him about Mercury. He didn't say a thing the whole time. Not a single expression either, not even when I told him about Alexandra and Rona. He was too mad. He didn't say it, but I know he thinks I should have let him kill Lysander when he was a boy. I love Severo to death, and he is fundamentally a good friend, but he feels no need to be a good person when dealing with enemies.
There he is, hero of the hour,
Severo says when Cassius limps in for coffee.
Barker, glad to see you're making use of the larder, he says.
Severo gives him a wide grin.
What a host you are!
Cassius nods to me and goes for the coffee.
But of course you had practice. You and this man's hosted royalty for over a decade.
His smile grows wider.
Glad to see you left a positive impression on young Loon. Taught him all the best ways to slaughter heroes of the rising.
Cassius turns around, jaw locked.
I won't make excuses for Lysander. I hear Alexandra and Rona were good people.
Good?
Severo asks.
We don't have to do this, I say.
Do what?
Don't use Alex and Rona, Severo. Just don't.
He loses his enthusiasm, and Cassius makes his escape. I send him an apologetic grimace as he ducks back toward the cockpit. Severo doesn't look at all satisfied. He tosses his combat knife down and stares at nothing.
He risked his life for you, I say.
Yeah, but we didn't get the Minotaur. That meat straw was a bad one. If he made it out, he's a cockroach, Darrow.
He grunts.
All this killing, man. We keep fighting. For what?
He coughs again and wipes his tattered mouth with a bony hand.
At least Orion took some of those ash bastards with her. Went out proper. You should have let her drown the whole bloody planet. Maybe then the cockroaches wouldn't keep coming back.
That wasn't Io's dream, I say, and it isn't mine. We're no Ash Lords.
Nah, we're pixies. You had Atlas and you let him live. We had Lysander and we let him live. We had Apollonius and we let him live.
He snorts.
It's like we want to lose.
We haven't lost yet.
Orion, Harnassus, Alex, Rona, Daxo. We don't know if Pax and Electra are safe. Not for certain. Maybe they're dead. Maybe my girls are next. Maybe Victra. Maybe Virginia. Shit, we couldn't beat the Core in 10 years. Now it's the Rim, too.
Mars will be a hard nut for them to crack. I can break them there. I will.
Uh-huh.
He almost leaves it at that.
With going under the ecliptic plane, Mars might not even be there by the time we get back. Ain't gonna be a fast ride, will it? Gonna be a crawl. And they'll be hunting us.
What do you want me to say, Severo? I've been in the dark for 8 months.
You want me to say it's all slagged, war's lost, our children are dead?
I won't. I can't. We have people counting on us. My family, your family. We don't have the right to do anything except all we can do.
He stares a hole in his food, lost in thought.
She'll have had the baby by now. Without me there. First time I wasn't there for it.
I was there for the girls.
His eyes flick up. What are you going to say to Virginia when you see her?
I don't know. I'll probably just listen, like I should have done from the start.
He doesn't respond, and I sense him drifting away, closing up.
Severo, there's something I have to say to you. Something I told myself I'd say when I didn't know if I'd ever see you again.
I take an unsteady breath. I've been too afraid he'll spit in me to say it until now.
I'm sorry.
To my surprise, he doesn't spit. So I continue.
When we left Luna to break out Apollonius, I promised you the end was near. I know you didn't believe it. I made you choose between me and your family. For that, for taking you for granted, for not listening to you, for all of it. I'm sorry.
There's an uncomfortable pause.
Severo shrugs and goes back to eating. The lack of acknowledgement says more than anything else. Wounds may scab over, but they don't always heal completely. I don't know what else I can say, not without making him angry, or cheapening it with bigger words and more excuses.
When I got free of Apple, you know why I didn't steal a ship and make for Mars myself? He asks.
Cassius and I were wondering.
I knew you'd come. You're stupid like that.
It's why I love you. But, man, we ain't good. We might never be good. I know. I know you do. But I can't do this again. When we get back to Mars, I'm going to be about my family. Only my family. His eyes stare through me. I know.
I don't think you do.
He breaks eye contact. They did smell like bacon, Darrow. The Howlers. I lost them all. I don't know where Pebble and Clown are. I don't know if Lilith and the Abomination still have them. He said he was going to erase me, wash out my memories, turn me into his trained dog, wash out my family.
Severo chews his bottom lip.
He didn't, though. I don't know why. I hate that it's his mercy that's given me this second chance with Victra, my kids, but I need to take it.
I understand. If that's what's right for you, I understand.
But nothing. You have a new baby to meet. You and Victra have four to take care of now. You chose to be a father. I will respect that. Even if I have to get my family off Mars, he asks.
I nod, even though it hurts. Even if we lost this war and I was dying, I'd smile if I knew you'd gotten out.
He knows I mean it, and I feel like that, more than anything I've said, gives our friendship a chance. Still, I'm relieved when I see Ori enter. It's the first time I've ever seen her awkward, and the first time I've seen her enter a room without all of its occupants giving her at least a portion of their attention.
Am I interrupting? She asks.
Yes,
Severo says down into his plate. His shell is back up. She apologizes and is about to leave when I wave her to the table. She sits and watches Severo. He doesn't care. He eats for a few more minutes, making sure to collect every last crumb, chugs on his beverage, burps, leans back, scratches his belly, looks up, yawns, then brings his eyes down on her like a hammer.
And?
She stares at the necklace of ears he still wears around his neck.
My name is Ori.
I know. We talked in the evac. And?
I have a message for you from friends in the Rim. It is from Athena.
I frown, even though I'm less surprised than Ori thinks I should be. She pulls a strangely designed holocube from her pocket. It activates and bathes us in amber light. Like Ares once did, this Athena wears a helmet. Hers is black with a Corinthian crest. Red eyes stare out from it. Her voice is slow, heavy with the laconic accent of the gas giants.
Yasu, son of Ares, Sero. I greet you on behalf of the low colors of the Rim. I cannot tell you my name, for I am hunted, but I am called Athena.
Cute theater, Sero mutters.
You do not know me, but I knew your father. He was my mentor, my friend, my hero. He found me when I was broken and showed me that it was not I that was broken, but the world's. Since his death, I have kept his legacy alive in the Rim.
A joke? Severo stands and snorts in disgust. I ain't got the patience for this shit.
You may doubt this. You may doubt me. So hear it from him.
Severo freezes as his father appears in place of Athena.
What?
Fitchner is young, probably close to the age we are now, and recording in an apartment with a view of Aegir. A toddler lies asleep on the couch beside him, his head resting on Fitchner's thigh.
Fitchner smiles ruefully out at us from across time. Severo touches the ears on his necklace. His entire essence shifted the moment he saw his father. He became a boy again. He blinks a few times and sits back down. Chills creep along my arms when I hear Fitchner's voice. I forgot how much I missed the man.
Hey, boyo, it's me, your dad.
Fitchner strokes the toddler's hair.
And you. I hope you don't wake up while I'm talking to you. You were a bastard today. Bit me like a goblin.
He shows a mark on his hand and sighs.
But I don't know if you'll ever watch this. I hope you don't ever have to. But if you do, it's because you're grown and I am dead.
Fitzner grimaces.
Strange, talking to the man you'll be. To me, right now, you're innocent, except for the biting. You don't yet know your mother is dead. You're too young to miss her. You're too young to know you will have no place in the world that killed her. That won't last.
His eyes grow sad.
But you know she's dead. You know how she died. This is a hard message to record. It's like admitting I won't be there. But that's being a dare, I think. I wish I could protect you from the pain that's waiting. I wish your innocence would last forever. I wish tonight that I didn't have to leave you. But I've done something, my boy. I have started a war. Our enemies don't know it yet. Hopefully they won't know till they're choking on it. That is why I have to leave you tonight. I'll be back, but there are seeds that must be sown in the rim. I will return to you as soon as I can. By the time you watch this, those seeds should have grown to fruition. Their bounty is your inheritance, should you need it. I hope you won't. I hope I am alive sitting beside you as you watch this. If I am, pour me a whiskey and rub an old man's back. I deserve it, because if I'm alive, I've beaten the bastards, and you won't have inherited my war. It's a pretty dream. But your mother was the dreamer, boyo. I'm not. I'm just a savage who can't let things go. Something tells me you might be the same. I know the path I walk might leave you alone. I'm a bastard for that, I know. It eats me up knowing you'll probably hate me for it. But fortune ain't kind to those who conceive revolution. The generation that lights the fuse usually gets buried in the rubble. My only hope is you'll build something of the rubble, son. Maybe a monument, eh? I'd like that. A big one on the lion steps for me and your mum. And a family for yourself. A whole brood to climb on our statue and be amazed at what big toes their grandparents had. Athena, my ally in the rim, will have sent this via a herald. You'll know it's them when they say the words your mother once said to you. They'll have a book with them. It belonged to Bryn, your mother, and her mother before her. It is a partial collection of the oral wisdom of their clan on Triton. It's your heritage, and it belongs to you now. Trust the book, and trust the herald. They will guide your journey to Athena as surely as I hope this book will guide your heart. Vale knows it saved mine.
He looks down at the toddler resting beside him.
I must go now. I'll be back for you to chew on soon.
He grows somber as he looks at the recorder.
If I am not there now, I'm sorry. But know I'm all right. No matter how it went, the path led me back to your mother. We loved you, Savron, with your first breath, with our last. We will always love you, and we will see you again at the end of your path. Farewell, for now.
Fitchner shrinks back into the holocube. Stunned, Severo hasn't time to say anything before Athena returns.
Your father knew the worst could always happen, Severo. He believed in redundancy. That is why he had me found an independent cell. I was the first daughter of Ares. When the Ra swept the suns away like dust, we survived because we are shadow. At first, we were few. Now we are many, more even than there ever were suns. For years, we have been too afraid to reach out to you, too embittered, because we know what Darrow did. We know he gave Romulus Aurad the sons to win the Battle of Ilium. For his own people, the Reaper sacrificed the sons of Ares in the Rim. That sacrifice allowed freedom to flourish in the core, but not here. There are some amongst us who will never forgive that. I am not one of them. Our cause is too important for us to be divided by the sins of one man. I reach out to you now because the Ra have entered your war. They have proven to my council what I have long argued. There is no Rim, no Core, only the high and the low, the oppressors and the oppressed. The high have united. If the low do not, I believe the dream of Ares and Io, our dream, will die. That is why I offer you your inheritance now. For 31 years, the daughters have focused on 2 tasks. The first, the dissemination of literature and liberal philosophy to gain converts, particularly those skilled in research, weapons development, and military construction. The second, the accumulation of military hardware. We have a fleet. We have weapons. But we do not have a general. It is time for you to fill your father's helm. Come be our god of war. The hologram ends. Ori watches Sevro, waiting for a reply. He gives none. Overwhelmed, he retreats toward the crew quarters. Ori stands to follow him. I hold up a hand to stop her. How many ships does this Athena have?
I would not know. Athena is careful, and I was deep cover until this mission.
Are you lying? I ask.
No.
How could I believe you? Why didn't you just tell me what you were?
She smiles. Darrow, the whole truth would have made you fear me because of the guilt you carry for what you did. Guilt makes men do very rash things, and my message wasn't for you.
Do you hate me? I ask.
No.
I look for hate in her eyes and don't see it. I have feared for years that I would face the consequences for betraying the sons on the Rim. Until I read The Path to the Veil, I probably would have never believed anyone could ever forgive me. I think of the 8th understanding. We achieve perfection first by acknowledging our failures. We increase understanding first by recognizing our ignorance.
If it counts for anything, I'm sorry for what I did, I say.
Ori reaches across the table and sets both her hands over mine.
I know. You are not the Reaper. You're just a wanderer trying to be what he thinks others need him to be. I forgave you a long time ago.
I believe her, and I hold her hand so she knows how much it means to me. We say nothing for a moment, then I stand to check on Sevro. I stop by my room first to grab the book. I find Sevro in the quarters he's made in the escape pod beneath the cargo bay. He doesn't look up as I squat against the hatch frame.
You all right? I ask.
He shakes his head.
It's a trap. It's not real.
I think it's real, I say, and hand him the book. He holds it with reverence.
Your father sent Titus and me to the Institute. It's the sort of thing he'd do. Never tie 2 ships together in a storm, you know.
He thinks it's real, too, which is why he looks so overwhelmed.
I can't.
He looks up at me.
I got a baby now. I got my girls. I can't.
You don't have to. You're going home, brother. If Virginia vets it and it stands up, I'll go. He tears up, he's so relieved. I grip his shoulder. All you need to think about is what you'll say to your baby when he or she sees you for the first time. He nods and hands me back the book. It was your mother's.
Not yet, he says. Just hold on to it, yeah?
I almost agree, and I almost leave him alone, but he looks so lonely down here in the quarters he's chosen so far from the rest of ours. Instead, I open to the first page and wait for him to stop me. He doesn't, so I start to read aloud. He wipes his eyes and leans back against the bulkhead to listen as the ship carries on toward Mars. I leave when he falls asleep. The music of a lyre creeps from Ori's room. I head through the lounge to find Cassius alone in the cockpit. He looks over as I sit down. "You all right?" I ask. "I was used as a bus driver for a spy I'm in love with who I thought rescued me because she thought I was a hero, whose protégé chose to become a tyrant and shoot my best friend's protégé in the head, whom I find out was the paragon of honor." He smiles. "I'm over the moon, Goodman." I squeeze his shoulder. "If it counts, I think you're a hero." He snorts a laugh, but doesn't throw my hand off. I pat his shoulder. "So I'm your best friend." He glares at me. "Don't rub it in." I lean back and watch the stars. "Those ships could be the miracle the Republic needs," he says. "Pity they're so far away." "If they're real," I say, "and enough of them." "You were listening on the intercom?" He nods. "Can I give you some advice?" "If you let me give you some," he replies. "Fair enough. You first." "Severo was spewing some depressing shit. Fair, considering the state I found you in after you stayed with the Jackal." He shivers. "Of all the people to clone, it had to be the creepiest. But Severo isn't clear in the head right now. It's not all bad. You're alive, brother. I know you thought you'd go back to Mars a savior, Mercury in your pocket. Now you're probably wondering how you can face Virginia and Mars after all this. So I gotta ask, is your faith in Virginia broken?" I shake my head. "Even though she didn't send help on Mercury?" "Never." "Then how can you be so dumb as to think she would ever believe any less in you? That our planet believes any less in you? You were a red miner. You became the bloody damn Reaper of Mars. Whatever mistakes you made, you did that. Not anyone else, you. So if you hang your head, how can anyone else hold theirs up?" He smiles. "After all, you're friends with me, and I'm fabulously picky." I sit with that for a while. "Wait, am I your only friend?" "Shut up. Your turn." "Stop hiding from Severo." "I'm not. Shut up. My turn." "Stop hiding from Severo. This is your ship. If you let him walk all over you, he will. You killed his father. 11 years ago, maybe 12 by now. You're trying to make up for it. It's on him to get over that, not you. And he won't if he doesn't respect you." I take the bottle of whiskey he hides under his seat. "So no more of this for your coffee. No more cowering. You're Cassius Bologna." "Ow!" "Not in the Republic." "No, not ow. Ow! Harsh critique." "Oh. Right. My turn." "I didn't agree to a game," I say. "After seeing that duel, you have a problem. One, you've used your body like a mallet for a decade and a half. It's 20 years older than it should be. Two, Diomedes and young Rim Bux will be coming for you. Trust me when I say he'd eat the Minotaur alive." I turn on him. "Really?" "Really." "Three, people are wise to the Willow Way, and personally I don't think it maximizes your potential. Four, you need your killing confidence back. You need a top-tier razor master. You need me. After all, steel sharpens steel." I lean back. "Don't give me that face." "What face?" "That constipated war god face. Minotaur messed you up. But I think we can make you even better than you were at your prime. If you let us." He puts his hand over my mouth. "You say one word about the gala, I will turn this ship around." He takes his hand back, wary. I cross my arms, tight with pride. I wince from two cuts Apollonius gave me.
If you wish to be repaired, you must first be broken, I mutter.
What?
The 11th understanding.
He rolls his eyes.
When did everyone turn into a gory damn philosopher?
When we started losing.
Then that's a yes.
That's a yes.
Good. We start tomorrow.
I look down at my bandages and wince.